All right, so are you ready to like travel back in time with me? Because today we are doing a deep dive into A Throne in Exile. It's this novella by Anil Bahuman, and it reimagines the Ramayana, through this lens of climate change.
And we're not just talking like a simple retelling here. Bahuman, he blends political intrigue, family drama, those ancient curses, and those just oh so relatable human emotions of love, duty, and resilience.
Yeah, it's a lot, but don't worry. We've got excerpts from the novella, character lists, background on the author, and even audio from the audiobook.
Yeah, we're going to uncover the layers of this story,
Yeah.
how it reflects Bahuman's background, the symbolism, and that fascinating way climate change is like not just a backdrop, but a driving force.
Okay, so let's unpack this, starting with Anil Bahuman. This buyer is fascinating. He's a former tech exec turned storyteller.
It's interesting how that background feeds into his writing, almost like, he's weaving together ancient myths and modern anxieties about like technology and its impact.
Totally. And the fact that he chose to release A Throne in Exile as an audiobook first says a lot about his vision.
Yeah, it is unusual for a debut novelist, right? It shows
Sure.
he's thinking globally.
It's fantastic. Okay, so now let's set the stage. We're talking ancient India, not the massive empires you might be picturing.
Right.
Instead, we're in the kingdom of Kashala, ruled by the Ragukul dynasty.
Adds a layer of authenticity, I'd say.
Absolutely. And it's November, the heat is oppressive. Bahuman really emphasizes that heat, setting a tone that's almost palpable.
It's more than just weather. It's the foundation for that climate change theme that you see throughout.
Right. This feeling of unease right from the start. Okay, now let's meet our main characters, Ram and Sita.
King and queen, deeply in love, but they're burdened by the lingering trauma of Sita's captivity. Remember, the fire trial, we'll get to that more, but just know that it's a significant event that hangs over their relationship.
Definitely piques your curiosity.
Right.
Now we also have Kaikeyi, the queen mother. She's Ram's stepmother.
She's deeply respected by Ram, but there's this air of mystery around her, like a hidden tension.
The novella describes her constantly twisting her sari, even when she's like presenting this regal front. It's like she's always got something else going on beneath the surface.
And then there are the whispers. The rumors circulating throughout the kingdom,
Right?
and they all seem to point back to her.
It's more than just gossip, though. These rumors threaten Ram's reign, his legitimacy, the entire legacy of the Ragukul dynasty.
The novella keeps repeating the phrase, Ragukul in danger,
Oh,
like a drumbeat, reminding you of what's at stake.
wow. Yeah, and as if political instability wasn't enough, there's another crisis brewing, a drought,
Yes.
devastating drought in the neighboring kingdom of Matsya.
This is where Bahuman's writing shines.
Okay.
He paints this picture of the river. Once a source of life, now salty and barren. Crops are withering, the land is parched.
It's heartbreaking,
It is.
but it's also symbolic. It's like the salty river, the withered crops. It's all a reflection of the kingdom's own, like, decaying moral compass.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Both crises, the drought, the rumors, threaten to tear the kingdom apart. It's a powerful parallel.
Really puts Ram in a pressure cooker, forcing him to make some tough choices.
So Ram is like caught between these mounting pressures, right?
Huh.
The whispers, the drought ravaging Matsya. And that's when Kaikeyi, the queen mother, makes her move.
Yeah, it's the perfect storm. And she seizes the opportunity by suggesting that Ram send Sita to Chitrakoot.
Right, this place known for its spiritual guidance.
Right.
But it's also worth noting that this is the same place where Ram himself, he spent time in exile years earlier.
Oh, wow. Talk about a loaded suggestion. So, on the surface, it sounds genuine, right? To protect Sita, seek divine intervention for the drought. It's clever, don't you think?
Absolutely. But the question lingers. Is she truly concerned for Sita, or is this all part of a bigger, more calculated plan?
Right, especially since Sita isn't just passively going along with this. She actually wants to go to Chitrakoot.
This is where her character gets really interesting for me. She's not just seeking refuge from the court drama, but she's on a personal quest here. Spiritual guidance, especially as a pregnant woman in this, like, tumultuous period.
Yeah, and you see her anxieties about the journey, right? Being in a new place with all these new people. And there's this recurring image of a palanquin.
Ah, yes. That luxurious but enclosed carriage.
Yes.
Powerful symbol, don't you think? Representing both luxury and confinement at the same time.
It's like she's worried Chitrakoot might become this gilded cage in a way.
Precisely. And amidst all this political maneuvering, Cedar finds solace and strength in her bond with her sisters.
It's a stark contrast to the court, right?
Absolutely. The novella really portrays this contrast, well, even mentioning how they try to like compress a year's worth of sisterly time into 1 week before she leaves for Chitrakoot.
Oh, wow. It's a small detail, but it's so poignant.
Yeah.
It emphasizes their love and support. And then, just as Sita is preparing to leave, she has this incredibly vivid nightmare.
Oh, yeah. And with this dream, the story takes this sharp turn.
Okay.
Plunging us into this world of symbolism and foreshadowing.
It's like the whole atmosphere of the novella changes.
It really does. Sita finds herself back in the jungle of Lanka, the place of her captivity, and there's that palanquin again.
Right, emphasizing that feeling of being trapped, even in luxury.
Exactly. But it's not just the jungle this time. She's taken to this, like, bizarre carnival.
Oh, wow.
It's filled with all these unsettling sights and sounds.
Really?
It's designed to disorient the reader, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a fever dream. You're not sure what's real and what's not. Mm-hmm. I remember feeling so unsettled reading that.
And that's the point. The dream is a manifestation of Ritra's Maya.
Okay, hold on. For those of us not as familiar with Indian mythology, could you explain Ritra's Maya?
Of course. So in Indian mythology, Ritra is a demon, often associated with drought. But in A Throne in Exile, by human, he takes it a step further.
Okay.
Ritra isn't just this force of nature. He embodies deceit, illusion, you know, those hidden enemies working against Ram and Sita.
So the drought plaguing the land, it's more than an environmental crisis. It represents something more sinister. It connects to the political turmoil.
Exactly. It's all part of Ritra's Maya, his web of deception. And what's fascinating is that within this nightmare, this like manifestation of Ritra's power, Sita, she recognizes what's happening. She sees through the illusion.
It's a powerful moment. Shows her strength, even when faced with these like unsettling, almost otherworldly forces.
Yeah. Even in her nightmares, she refuses to be a victim. And this dream, as disturbing as it is, it foreshadows her determination to find the truth, protect what she cares about.
So we have political intrigue, anxieties about climate change, ancient curses, and now like a shape-shifting demon who's projecting nightmares onto our protagonist.
And it all unfolds against this backdrop of incredibly complex family drama.
Right.
Ram, stuck between love for Sita, duty to his kingdom, and the manipulation of his stepmother.
It's a lot to unpack. And just when you think you're starting to get it, Bahuman throws another curveball.
Yeah, he does. We're left with this image of Sita walking away from Ram, this storm brewing in the distance, mirroring the turmoil in their family, the kingdom, and within Sita herself.
So that final image of Sita, you know, leaving for Chitrakoot with the storm brewing really stayed with me.
Oh, it's very powerful.
Totally. So Sita's off to Chitrakoot, right? Supposedly for spiritual guidance, but we know it's way more complicated than that.
Right.
Right.
What's fascinating is that Bahuman uses this journey to highlight Sita's strength. Like, she's not just going into exile, but she's seeking answers, right? Taking control.
Yeah, taking control of her own narrative.
Exactly.
And she even vows to pray for Saketi's victory.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. For those who don't know, Saketi is another name for Ayodhya, where she rules, you know, alongside Ram.
It suggests that she hasn't given up on her kingdom or her role as queen.
Wow.
Even in exile, her thoughts are with her people.
It speaks to her duty, her sense of responsibility. But she's also going through so much, right? Pregnant in a new place, so much uncertainty. And the novella doesn't shy away from that.
It's true. He reminds us that she's not just this mythical figure, but a woman with very real human experiences. The anxieties, the discomforts of pregnancy, it's all there.
Yeah, and her sisters, I mean, they're furious.
Oh, especially Mandavi.
Yes.
It's the most outspoken.
Yeah.
And she does not hold back.
No.
She even accuses Ram of abandoning Sita.
Which, let's be honest, is kind of a fair point.
It is. But then Sita, she defends her husband, saying it was her decision, you know, a sacrifice for the good of the kingdom.
Right. It shows her loyalty, but also her political savvy.
Right.
She knows not to challenge the king, even if it is her husband.
Exactly. And then amidst all this, we have this beautiful moment of sisterly love.
Yeah.
Or Mila, her other sister. She offers to go with her to Chitrakoot.
Wow.
It's a testament to their bond.
It is.
She knows that Sita needs her, not just practically, but emotionally.
Absolutely. It speaks volumes about those relationships.
It does.
Especially in the face of adversity. But even with Ormila by her side, you still get this sense that Sita's facing something much bigger. The whispers, the drought, Kaikei, it's all connected.
It is, and that's where Bahuman leaves us, with Sita walking into this oncoming storm. And it's this powerful image, right? It really encapsulates the turmoil in their family, the kingdom, and within Sita.
So much to think about. I was left wondering if Ritra represents deceit. those working in the shadows. Is it just Kaike? You know, who else might be pulling the strings in a throne in exile? Something to think about as you dive into this world. Until next time.